The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
We appreciate you being here, and a lot to do. And man, we are ready to roll with some fantastic, and I mean out of this world guests right from the beginning. Let's get started here on a Wednesday afternoon and tell you about what is the latest out there. And when Mel Kiper is your lead story, you have to ask why. It has something to do with Jalen Carter being the projected number one. Who saw that one coming? We have been so obsessed about Anderson and Bryce Young. There you go. Jalen Carter, number one. C.J. Stroud instead of Bryce Young, number two. There's Will Anderson, and there finally is Bryce Young at number four. Levitz at five, and you saw the rest. I mean, that's a pretty amazing list of quarterbacks when you start breaking them down. You have Richardson a little bit farther along at the nine position. C.J. Stroud, Bryce Young, Will Levis, all outstanding. Obviously, Bryce Young winning the Heisman a year ago and being the runner-up, and C.J. Stroud making it to the semifinals. Blake Topmeyer has got Dan Mullen on the brain. Probably won't happen, but he has been talking about this in his column. Mullen definitely in the mix, but sources in Tuscaloosa are telling reporters probably not going to happen. How about basketball this weekend on the men's side? We'll talk about the women in a minute. You got some fantastic matchups. How about Bama traveling to Norman early on? You have Tennessee hosting Texas, and then Kentucky trying to continue on with its sudden winning ways. Leah Boston has been the story of the year again in college basketball. She helped Dawn Staley's team win the title a year ago, and they're heavily favored to do it again. She's the most outstanding player in South Carolina, the most outstanding team. And how about these for some games? UConn and Tennessee, that's an old rivalry that went by the wayside. You have South Carolina traveling to Alabama, and later, actually next Monday, how about that game? Tennessee and LSU. Dawn Staley joining us. It's always fantastic to say hello to Dawn Staley, the Olympic gold medal coach, the national championship twice, and who knows how many more times. Coach, good afternoon, and it's really great to have you on.
Paul, good to be on again.
We were so upset. We were over in Columbia at the end of the season, and you had just gotten on a plane, I think, to go to the West Coast to play, was it Stanford? I can't remember who it was, but we hated to miss you, but anyway, we're certainly glad to connect. I know it's a loaded question to ask you how you think the season's gone, because everything seemingly is going well, but what does the coach have to say about it?
I mean, it's going well. I mean, we got players that are just driven to win another championship, and we got our work cut out for us, but they're up for the challenge. We probably won't have this group together for another year, so we want to squeeze another championship out of it, Paul. So you know how hard that is, though.
Yeah, it might sound greedy to a bystander, but you understand better than anyone, having been a player and now a coach on this level, how tough it is. If I could ask you about something, and I know it's been talked about a lot because we've been running Coach the WeBat Pack. Pat Summit spots all week as we celebrate her, as we do every year, in fact, every day for that matter. But I know you had an interesting relationship with Pat Summit, first as a player in some high-stakes games when you were at Virginia and she was coaching Tennessee, then later on. What was your first when did you first come in contact with Coach Summit, I'm assuming as a young player?
Yes. She actually recruited me out of high school, and she actually came and did a home visit with me and my family, and I mean she said some incredible things, and to be a part of her program obviously would have been truly special. But as a youngster, I didn't know this until my recruiting process. One of my non-negotiables became to not go to a school that had won a national championship. And you don't really know that until you're actually entrenched in the recruiting process. So, yes, you started talking about all the national championships and how much of a great coach she is. And all of that was true. But some part of me wanted to be a part of creating somewhat of a legacy that she created at Tennessee, at a place that hadn't won a national championship, and ended up going to Virginia and not winning a national championship. but you know, I think we made some noise. Yeah, pretty close.
Yeah, and I think I believe you played Tennessee, I think three straight years. Did you not in the tournament?
We played Tennessee my very first NCAA tournament and lost to them by 33. And I vowed to our team, like I didn't know, you know, you're a youngster, you just thinking you're going to win and beat the legendary coach and the rich tradition of Tennessee, and then they smack you around and win by 33. But that was an impression that was left on me. It was a bad impression, but it also fueled me to want to upend and beat Tennessee. We actually did it the following year, and we denied them of playing in the Final Four in Knoxville. So although we never won, I do think that was something that Pat would have remembered to this day. But make no mistake, there will never be another Pat Summitt. The impact that she had on the entire game, like the entire game, is long lasting, and I hope that young coaches that are coming up in our game really look at her impact and what it is that she parted ways on us that will continue for the remaining of our women's basketball history.
And Coach, it seems like the true mark of someone great is that we're still talking about her and with the kind of fervor that you are saying. And I would never put you in a position to try to have you compare yourself to her, because I know you wouldn't do that. But do you feel like at this point of your career that you are now taking on that role that she once had as really the person in the sport that everyone looked at and looked toward?
I mean, here's, I am, because of what Pat Summitt meant so much to women's basketball. I'm able to do some of the things and have some of the successes, because of what Pat Summitt meant to the game. Like, because of her, I wanted to win a national championship as a coach. And those are aspirations that you can't take away. I came to the SEC because she was coaching in the SEC. And if you could play a Pat Summitt each and every year and possibly twice a year, you are gaining knowledge of how to coach at the very highest level. So she allowed you to reach, and she allowed me to reach out and have, you know, goals and dreams of being a part of a national championship team, and the way you go about doing it with class, with grace, and with access, because she gave you access to her. And, you know, so, you know, for her legacy, I'm going to continue to give access to younger coaches and players and anybody that wants to know anything about how we do things at South Carolina, because I had the example in Pat Summitt.
Coach, finally, you obviously met her on the court a number of times early in your career. What was it like, not only having to face her as a player, having had her in your home, but finally that first moment that you and her were contemporaries, even though that probably didn't describe the situation very well with your first meeting with her?
Well, here's the thing. When I started coaching, I never really looked down at the other bench. But when the days that I've played, the games that I've played, coached against Tennessee and Coach Summitt, I looked a lot. Like, I looked a lot. I actually wanted to see her reaction, even if she was beating us. Because you want to see what makes what makes her special. I know it's the conversations that she's given. I know it's the national championships, but to actually look down there and watch her be the maestro that she was, just it made me aspire to do the things that she's done, to see the reaction of the coaches, to see her players look in her eyes in a huddle. Like, I checked some of those things out because they exhibited championship behavior. And if I can emulate some of that with our team and end up winning one or two, I mean, that's what it's all about. Or three.
Coach, I can tell you right now, the tribute you just paid to Coach Summit is really extraordinary. But today, when you're on the sidelines, I have a feeling that the other coaches and the other players are peeking over at you as well to learn, because that's the position that you have now worked your way to. We appreciate your time as always. All the best this year, and a lot of folks here at least are pulling hard for you and your young ladies.
Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it. Hope you have me back on soon.
You got it. It's always our pleasure to say hello, and thanks so much to Dawn Staley for being here to begin the program as we look forward to this tremendous weekend that begins really tomorrow. Also tonight, I should say. There's a lot of big games, but tomorrow in Knoxville with the UConn game, and later this weekend around college basketball. We take a break. Your phone calls are around the corner.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's HIMS.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Well, and there is a teammate honoring another teammate. Warren McClendon will... Devin Willick's number in the Senior Bowl, number 77. Survey shows only 8% of NCAA athletes believe NIL causes problems in the locker room. And 92% said they didn't have time to respond to the survey because they were too busy talking to a local collective. Today's guest. Cole Kublik will join us in a little bit. What? Matt Zenitz from On Three, and Kelly Harper talking about tomorrow's big matchup with UConn. Cliff is up next in Mississippi. Hello, Cliff.
Hey, Paul. How you doing today, buddy?
Cliff, we are doing well. Thank you.
It's cold in Mississippi, man. But look, I wanted to ask you. I think this is the eve of the 40th anniversary of Coach Bryant's passing. Am I right?
Not only are you right, the weather today is about the same as it was. He died on January 26th, 1983, which will mark 40 years tomorrow. And we will have a couple of guests, in fact. But it was just from a calendar standpoint, it was on a Wednesday.
Right.
In 1983, that would have been today. So, yeah, it's Yeah. It's a memory that I realize many of you weren't born, were maybe barely alive, but for those of us who were active back then, it was a day that we will never forget.
Hey, look, if you'll give me just a minute, I got to pick your brain. This is something, and this has to do with Coach Bryant. I was sitting on the 10-yard line on the south end of Memorial Stadium on November the 1st, 1980.
Yes, sir. Mississippi State,
my
Alabama.
My fiance was the women's golf coach at Mississippi State, and she played her collegiate golf at Alabama on the Conrad Railing. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you know, she was sitting there being very quiet because she was in a Bulldog section there. But I know you were there. You were actually at the game.
Yeah, Cliff. In fact, I was on the sideline about 10 feet away from Coach Bryant and Mal Moore when that final play either did or didn't come in. I don't think it ever got in, which created the fumble, which cost Alabama the game.
Well, the thing about it is, at that time, we had probably one of the best run defenses in the country, and Alabama had one of the best teams as far as running in the country. So it was kind of like a clash of the Titans that day. And it was back and forth. And my take on it was that Coach Bryant wanted to prove to Emory Ballard, who came up with the wishbone, which Coach Bryant was running, he wanted to prove to to Emory Ballard that he could run on Emory's defense, which at the time, Johnny Cook, Tyrone Keyes, there was a whole slew of really good run defense players at Mississippi State at that time. When they pass three times and down, next thing you know, they're on the 3-yard line and we caused the fumble when Tyrone Keyes hit Gordon coming around the right side and caused the fumble, and we recovered. You know, what was your, I know you reported because you hadn't been long with the Post-Herald,
no,
I don't think.
I mean, it was really interesting. Back then, you could pretty much roam the sidelines as a reporter, or maybe you couldn't, and I just was too bullish to care. And I was standing down there watching, and I asked Mal Moore about this once, and I was watching. Mal was standing next to Coach Bryant to send in the play from the sidelines, and they were discussing something, and I've always maintained, and I've talked to a million people who disagree with me, that they never effectively got the play into Don Jacobs, who was the quarterback, and he was confused. And you could see that as the play started to disintegrate. It was Alabama had, I believe, they had won the national championship in 78 and 79. They were number one. They had they had a 26-game winning streak, and it all came apart.
Actually,
that day.
They had a 28-game winning
streak. Maybe 28, whatever it was. It was that first real epic memory of my first year covering Alabama. And quite frankly, it was never the same after that. I think Alabama lost the next week to Notre Dame. The next 2 years were 81 was a little better than 82. We all know what happened down at the end.
Right. Well, you know, I don't know if you remember, but Coach Bryant and Larry Templeton made, and I knew Larry well at the time because we were kind of involved with the athletic department, but Larry Templeton said they were in the locker room celebrating, and Coach Bryant walks in.
True.
And Larry Templeton said you could hear a pin drop when he walked in. And when he congratulated the team on the victory, I thought to myself, you know, they call Nick Saban, Coach Saban, the GOAT. Well, to me, Coach Bryant was the coach, COAT, the classiest of all time.
Yeah, no, I remember because you have to remember, and you do, because – I mean, nobody had more clout. Really, hardly anybody in the sports world than Paul Bryant. And when he did that, it was incredibly magnanimous. Well, by the way, you mentioned Larry Templeton. I talked to him the other day. He's one of my close friends, as you may know, and one of the great Bulldogs of all time. Thank you very much for the call. John is up next in Louisville. Hey, John.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul, and how's your day? I want to fill up that collection jar.
We're still trying to raise a little money, but we're not asking for help, but we need it.
Okay. Hey, I want to talk about the Alabama coordinator openings, and also I have a question on the CFP format, the new one. But just a couple quick items. It's good to hear Mitch and Trey are doing better. Secondly, I thought Legend and JK knocked it out of the park yesterday, didn't you?
I was wondering if that was not an act because, those guys could be in Branson together, couldn't they?
Absolutely. And there was a third guy, just can't remember who came in after that.
Yeah, he was the artist formerly known as.
Oh, yeah, that's it. The guy from Tuscaloosa. Well, he's a top 15 caller anyways. But the third item is I want to agree with your show's general counsel, William, that that statement that came out of the athletic department of Georgia was just totally unnecessary, particularly the line that the individuals were not engaged in athletic department duties around the time of the incident. I mean, just the worst statement you could have made.
Yeah, too often I think people try to chase stories with statements, and that was unnecessary.
Yeah, just stupid, really stupid. So on the Alabama coordinator openings, I just can't believe, based on what Nick said about recruiting and recruiting violations, that he would bring in Jeremy Pruitt, particularly because he's got 18 level one violations under his belt. I mean, if he needs money, just have his wife go work for DoorDash. She can, deliver McDonald bags full of money. I mean, just don't bring him in.
The only person I know that is in constant contact with Jeremy Pruitt is Griff. And we haven't heard from Griff yet today on how that disposition is going.
Yeah, and as far as Dan Mullen, I think he's would make a great head coach, but I don't think he needs to go into the coaches rehab clinic with Nick. I think he's got enough money. And
well, I think the problem, though, don't you think, John, the first day Saban comes, knocks on the door and Mullen said, come back later? Don't you think Mullen would take over Nick Saban's office?
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know if there's enough, if there's room for both egos in that building.
No, I don't think so. Mullen's still a head coach. And on the CFP, the new formula or format, and help me with this, there's 12 teams eligible, correct?
Correct.
There's the five conference winners get a bye in the first round, correct?
Top four.
Oh, four. Okay. No, which one's
the
missing?
It's the top four, the highest rated conference champions. So therefore,
gotcha.
This year, I believe Clemson would have been number three or four.
Yeah. And then finally, if I'm understanding this right, Paul, in the first round, they will be played at the home stadiums. How is that decided? Is it the better of the two teams they get to host the game?
It would have to be the higher rated team.
Well, God help the Southern teams going up to the Big Ten or what have you.
Yeah, and then there's also a Notre Dame clause in there, which that states that Notre Dame has to play in the first round because they're not in a conference.
They're God's team, right? Gotcha. Yeah. Okay, thank you, Paul.
Okay, thank you. I feel like I just taken a deposition. We will take a break. More of your phone calls and many more guests. We started with Dawn Staley, and we have a lot more to do.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
And we are back. Glad you jumped on board here today. Steve is up next in Georgia. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call. I've been on hold for about 30 minutes. Daniel Boone said I was the first person that was going to be on there, and then I had to listen to the brown noser from Louisville bloviate forever. But anyway, that's the only complaint I got. But I got an opinion. I got a question, and I want to get your opinion on it. And
okay.
It involves the Heisman Trophy, and it involves the playoff. I don't know why they keep wanting to mess up college football with some of these crazy things they're coming up with. The Heisman, I got a simple solution to that. Just move the date for the celebration. I mean, it used to be they played 10 college games and a bowl game after that. But after the 10 college games, the season was over with, and that's 15. So why don't they just move the Heisman celebration till after the season's over with? That would be a simple solution if you ask me. And the other thing, Roy Kramer made a lot of sense. I wish he'd come out of retirement and be a commissioner of college football, but you could tell he was a hesitant about this expanded playoff thing, because he's right. You know, you get a bunch of teams now. First of all, the season's already 15 games long. I mean, they're going to make it 18 games long, and you're going to have a lot of injuries, and you're going to end up with some team that's hot that could win the thing that shouldn't be. I mean, I think what they've got right now is completely fine, and it's the four best teams, and I just think it's just going to be a detrimental thing for college football.
Well, thank you for the call. Yeah, I mean, he said it's going to be like basketball, which is essentially a tournament sport. You get hot. You can be the best team all year, and you catch the wrong matchup at the wrong time, and you're out. Same way with the NFL. We still love it. Every week, more people watch because it's a sport. It's a tournament, and we really like those type of things. Where I don't think we're going to mess it up, number one. I think it's going to – the goal is to draw more interest, and college football needs that. It really, when you look at the overall numbers that watch the national championship game and the playoffs, it's pale compared to what the NFL playoffs get, because there's really very little, if any, buildup. Thank you for the call. Great to hear from you. Robert in Tennessee is up next. Hey, Robert.
Hey, Coach. How you doing, buddy?
We're doing well. Thank you.
Hey, I talked to you about a year ago about Eli. Being the announcer of one of the hockey teams in the Southern Professional Hockey League, and how everybody loved him.
Yes.
Me and my wife are owners in Knoxville with Ice Bears, and we go to Birmingham several times a year. And we always take him a hat and talk to him. Just an extraordinary man. I know everybody in Alabama misses him as the voice of the Alabama, but we miss him in the SPHL. How is he doing?
Robert, indications are that he's doing better. He issued a statement a few weeks ago that dealt with some of the problems that he has had. There was some hope that he would return at some point, but I don't really know anybody that knows more than that. And I say that as I hate to even answer it that way, because Eli and I have been friends for 40 years.
That's right.
For all the times that we have talked and been together and had lunch, it's not easy to communicate right now with him, and we're just not getting any what I would call substantive information. That's a long way of saying I don't know.
Okay. Well, we pray for him, and if you do see him, just tell everybody in the hockey league loves him.
I will. That's the part that's disappointing to me, and I don't know. I'm not going to get into. Because he's gone through a very difficult time. But there's so many people that have reached out to me and to others who are close to him, and it feels it's hard to be able to communicate to him these feelings, because there just doesn't seem to be much way to get that message across. Thank you for the call. Dan is up next.
Thanks, Paul. Paul, does it make you smarter when your team is winning?
No.
Okay. I'm just wondering. Paul, would LSU be considered a mini dynasty since we've won 3 in the last 20 and Alabama's won 6?
Well, it means that LSU is a really good program, but a dynasty, as we have said, has more to do with dominating your space at the time that we're having this conversation. And I would say that LSU is not dominating right now. They're doing better. They've won a title, one title since 2007. That's not enough.
Paul, would you please tell Legend to quit betting against Joe Burrow? It's going to cost him big time.
I will pass that along. Trey is up next.
Hey, Paul, I'm feeling so good today. I got a message for JK, if that's okay with you today. Is that
all
right, Paul?
Sure.
If you can't beat Middle Tennessee State, clap your hands. If you can't win your division, clap your hands. If you can't win your conference, if you can't make the playoffs, if you can't win a title, clap your hands. Have a great day, Paul.
Bubba is up next.
Hey, Paul. On the eve of the anniversary of Coach Bryant's death, I wanted to tell you what he told me in an interview. For the 30-year anniversary of Kentucky's greatest football game, the
sure.
win over Oklahoma, number one Oklahoma, 1951 Sugar Bowl. Coach Bryant told me that game almost didn't happen. Kentucky was undefeated, Oklahoma was undefeated, and Kentucky lost to General Neyland in Tennessee. And the Sugar Bowl was looking elsewhere for somebody to play number one Oklahoma. Bear Bryant told me that he promised that Kentucky would beat Oklahoma if the Sugar Bowl would pick Kentucky. So they did, and he did.
Hey, Bubba, tell me the circumstances of which you interviewed Coach Bryant.
I was doing the preview for the 1981 Kentucky football season.
Okay.
And I thought of the game, and I tried to interview Coach Bryant, and he was kind enough to give me an interview, and we talked about the game. And another thing he told me was he took Kentucky down to Mobile, Alabama, and practiced there before the Sugar Bowl, and he said that Bob Gang liked to kill Babe Parilli. Bob Gang was an offensive lineman for Kentucky, and Babe Parilli was the quarterback. And he said he kept telling Bob to leave Parilli alone, and Bob kept on smashing him. So I had to take Bob out of the practice. And then that's another thing he told me.
Wow. What was it like to interview him for you? Was that
It was a dream come true. He's always been my idol. And he was a kind man.
He was indeed. He was. I mean, I can only say this as someone who had a chance to interview him a number of times back then. He was much easier to interview than you would have thought. He was very accommodating, I thought.
He sure was. That couch was awful low, though.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. No, I will say. in terms of legends, he was always. Gracious. Bob, I had this, we had an arrangement. I didn't have it. I worked for a newspaper that had it. We had an arrangement with him that we would interview him every week, every Monday. And he was always there. You know, you're supposed to call at 11:45, and you called. And one day he wasn't around. And when that's the only thing you have to do is to interview Coach Bryant, and you're a young reporter in your first big assignment, you keep calling, and finally I was able to track down Billy Varner, who was his former retired policeman in Tuscaloosa, who drove him around. And I said, Billy, I've got to talk to Coach Bryan. I said, I think they're going to fire me. He said, don't worry about it. Like 5 minutes later, there was Coach Bryan, as clear as a bell. He was truly remarkable. I mean, you could there are certain people now in college sports, you couldn't track them down or get them on the phone with a subpoena. We'll take a short break. More of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Back. Cole Kublik joining us top of the next hour. We'll get his take on some of the pressing issues of the day. Dustin is up next in Tulsa.
Hey, let me tell you something there, Feinbaum. Your career's over. You know that? Your career's gone. And I'm going to tell you another thing. It's because you've been covering for that Kirby Smart, and I know what's going on. I got down to the bottom of it. I heard about it. I was talking to God, and he told me that you have been receiving some of those kickbacks from those collectives, and you've been getting some of that Georgia NIL money under the table to run this cover from Kirby Smart. I'm on to you, man. I'm gonna go public with it, and your career's over, Feinbaum.
Now, Jim.
I'm just kidding, Paul. Good morning from Tulsa, man.
Hello.
Hey, I called in to say that I think people are giving Jim a hard time, and rightfully so. But everybody that said yesterday, you know, the day before, I hope Jim stops calling, he's the worst part of the show. I disagree. He's not the best part of the show, but, man, he makes for awful good fodder in that last hour. You know, every train wreck needs an audience. I hope that guy never stops calling in, because it's the best part of that last hour when it's just all going crazy and he gets in there and goes nuts. I really do enjoy it a little bit.
Well, I totally agree with you. Thank you for sharing that.
You're more than welcome, man. Hope you all have a great day.
Thanks a lot. Always great to hear from you. Ken is up next in Alabama. Hello, Ken.
Hey, Paul. How you doing today?
We are doing well. Thank you.
Listen, I wanted to tell you, I've been sitting here listening to you, and of course, I just listened to Dustin talk about Jim, but, you know, I like Jim, too. Jim makes the show, too. He's just like everybody else. He's just one of the characters that calls in. But what I really called about, Paul, I want to share with you, if you don't mind, about when I was a kid, 10 years old, I was in the Boy Scouts, and I had the opportunity to meet Bear Bryant. We were actually ushers at the game, and I was 10 years old, and they put us out in the middle of the field while they were practicing or whatever before the game. And then they said, y'all going to meet Bear Bryant. Well, I quite frankly didn't really know who he was at then. But I'm going to tell you, to be 10-year-old and to shake that man's hand and look up in here at him, it was amazing. That made me an Alabama fan, Paul. And I'm going to tell you something. It has shook me to this day. You just don't know how big a man he was until you looked at him.
Yeah, I've always thought, Ken, and I know a lot of people compare and contrast him with Nick Saban. And Saban, I think, may have supplanted Bryant. But the thing about Bryant, it was when you were in his presence. He literally was bigger than life. He walked in
he
a room.
Really was.
I'll never forget. I took my mother to an event. Bryant's last game. There was a party the night before the game, and she had never seen Bryant before. And we were all waiting around, nervous. And he walked in that room, and you know, I wasn't there when Moses split the Red Sea, but it was about the closest thing I've ever seen to that.
That's what I'm talking about, and his voice just exploded.
No, he got that old gravelly voice, and you know, and yes. Talk about shaking his hand. I mean, I always used to joke he didn't have hands; he had paws, because
you're correct.
You know, he would grab your hand, and you'd about even at 69 years old, he'd about crush it in half.
You're exactly right, but I just wanted to share that, Paul, and that's always been in. You know, I've always thought about that all my life, how he amazed me. But of course, he made me the Alabama fan I am today.
Well, I am so glad to hear that story, Ken. We'll talk a little bit more about tomorrow as we commemorate, hard to believe, the 40th anniversary, of Paul Bryant's death with a few guests tomorrow afternoon. Cole Kubrick was not around on that day, but he'll be around today when we come back.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.